status quo is the enemy.
We must think differently.
Get better, faster. Companies don't change, innovate, and transform. People do. Welcome to Innovate for the Future. Listen in as Dirk drills down deep with leaders and innovators from within distribution and beyond who are disrupting markets and changing the way business is done. Those who are innovating for the future.
Innovating for the future.
It's time to change the rules.
Become the disruptor rather than the disrupted.
We own the future.
Are you ready? You can create your future. You own your future. And your journey of innovating for the future begins now with your host, Dirk Beveridge.
All right, welcome back to Innovate for the Future. I am your host, Dirk Beveridge, the founder of Unleash WD, the only innovation summit for distributors, and the author of the book, Innovate: How Successful Distributors Lead Change in Disruptive Times. I'm really honored that you continue to come back to the show. You know, ever since that epiphany that some of you have heard me talk about that I had back in 2012, I think it was, when I was sitting in a two-day innovation conference out in Providence, Rhode Island, listening to these brilliant leaders, thinkers, disruptors come across the stage at 18-minute intervals talking about innovation. You know, one moment we were listening to a social entrepreneur who was talking about how they had to innovate to help the victims of Katrina. And then the next moment I was listening to, you know, the VP of design innovation for a company like Intel. And all of these brilliant people were talking about the change in innovation, technology, how it's changing how we live, how we work, how we play. And then I'm thinking about, you know, distribution. And that's when I had the epiphany that innovation was bypassing distribution, that we needed to think about our business differently. And that's led us on a path together over the years through our innovation conference, through our speaking, and certainly through this podcast, Innovate for the Future, to think about how do we build a business, not just for yesterday, but for tomorrow. And I love these special episodes that we're having right now that's focused on securing your life's work, right? With all that you've put into your career, everything that you've given. I mean, everything that you've given to your business, to your suppliers, to your employees, to your community, everything that you've given to your family to create this amazing business that you have around you. You know, it's really important right now, as we talked about maybe two episodes ago, about the fourth quarter of our career, being in the fourth quarter of our career, that we get away from the business, not just to work in the business, but to get away from the business to work on the business. In this fourth quarter of our career, it's just super important that we really spend the quality time strategically thinking about what needs to happen to transition this business on that inevitable day. Every one of us, there's going to be that inevitable day when we transition the business, the leadership of the business, over to that next generation. Again, that next generation might be another family member or a team of family members, or it might be non-family members. But at some point in time, everything that you've given to your career, everything you've given to that business, everything you've given to your life's work, we're going to pass the baton. We're going to pass it over. And the stewardship of your life's work is going to be in the hands of that next generation. And so it's just so important that right now, this is our moment in time to really be focused on ensuring that we set that next generation up for long-term sustainability, and in so doing, securing our life's work. And so today what I'd love to do is I'd love to talk about this third or the second component part of the My Life's Work success path, and that's ensuring that we align our team around a clear path going forward. In order to do that, I need to bring you back to something that I don't know if I've talked about here on Innovate for the Future, something that I'm not proud of. I know I speak about it periodically during some of my keynote presentations, but I don't think I've spoke about it here on Innovate for the Future. Again, it's something that I'm not proud of, but it's absolutely true. It was back in 1981. It was the winter break from college, you know, that December, January, when I was a student down at Western Illinois University. And I got a letter, a snail mail. There was no such thing as email back then. I went out to the mailbox, or it was sitting there on the counter for me. And the dean of the business school, whose last name was Beveridge, by the way, Dean Beveridge. Same last name as mine. I thought that was going to help me out. When I saw it, it didn't. But he decided to send me a letter. And what he said was, I can't remember the entire letter, but I do remember these five words. In the letter, the five words that I remember were, "You have been academically suspended." Those are the only words that I remember. Now, again, I'm not proud of it. And mind you, this is from Western Illinois University down in Macomb, Illinois. This is the same university, the same institution that the men's basketball team one season played its first six home games with the word Illinois misspelled on the player's jersey. Yes, Illinois misspelled on the player's jersey. And yes, that's where I had been academically suspended. And I got to tell you something that is difficult to do, but I found a way. Again, not proud of it. True. I think I learned from it. But here's one of the lessons. For my first three semesters down in Macomb, my first three semesters at Western Illinois University, I drifted, man. I didn't have meaningful disciplines. I didn't have a vision for what I wanted to accomplish. I certainly didn't have a clear path forward for where I was going. And for those first three semesters, I drifted. And then I was disrupted by the dean of the business school with those five words, "You have been academically suspended." Now, let's leave Macomb, Illinois for just a moment, and let's get into business. Can you think of a business that has drifted with no meaningful disciplines? How about Enron? Yeah, there's one, right? Or can you think of a business that drifted with no vision? Blockbuster comes to my mind. How about a business with no clear path forward? You know, I live in Barrington, Illinois. I'm in my office here downtown Barrington, Illinois, at the corner of Huff and Main Street and the old First National Bank of Barrington building. But just 8 miles south of me here is the campus for Sears. There's a business, right, with no clear path forward. Enough said, right? Now, on the other hand, businesses with strategy, businesses with discipline, businesses with a vision, and certainly businesses with a clear path forward, they write a different future, don't they? They write a future of relevance, sustainability, and profitability for generations to come. And that's my absolute greatest hope for you during this fourth quarter of our careers, that we don't allow our business to drift. We cannot allow our businesses to drift. I call this the deadly drift. Businesses drift when they become distracted by the overwhelm. And hey, in today's fast-paced world, I know it's easy to become distracted by the overwhelm, but that's when we begin to drift. Businesses begin to drift when we get lost in the fog of uncertainty. And in today's disruptive times, in this age of rapid change, in this age of disruption, it's easy to get lost in the fog of uncertainty. Businesses begin to drift when we become consumed by busyness. Have you ever had one of those days when you're busy as all get out? And as you're driving home, you or as you're packing up, you ask yourself, what did I actually accomplish today? Yeah, that's the busyness that allows the business to drift. And maybe, I don't know, maybe worse than all of that, we start to drift when we start to deceive ourselves. Have you ever heard somebody in your circle say, you know what, Amazon, it's not going to impact our business, is it? Again, we allow the businesses to drift, and we have to stop that. I was doing a program a little bit ago for a distributor of building materials, and I was doing a full day a sales workshop for the sales team. And I think there were about 120 people or so in the room. And at lunch, it was going great. Just a great day. They were interactive. They were interested in learning about customer obsession and what does that mean to the sales process. They were interested in learning about value added and how do you truly differentiate yourself and how do you add value to the point where only 40% of the customer's buying decision is product and 60% of the customer's buying decision is product and price. Excuse me, is the value added. 60% is the value added. What do we do for the customer beyond the product? We were just having a great day talking about this value-oriented sales process. And at lunch, a gentleman came up. I think it was about my age. And he was super kind. And he was complimenting me on the day and how much sense it makes and how excited he is to have this information for the organization. And so I was I was appreciative of what he was saying. Then I asked him, tell me his story. I said, tell me about yourself. And he told me, well, he'd only been with this distributorship for about 2 months. I said, interesting. What were you doing before then? And he said, well, I actually owned my own distributorship, my own dealership, my own yard up until, well, 2 months ago. He said, I owned this business for 30 years. And I said, tell me more. And he said, and here's what he said. As he told me the story, he said, well, Dirk, I got in a position where I had, those were the words, I had to sell the business. And then he trailed off. But then he said, and I have nothing to show for it now. Right? He got in the position where the disruption, where the pace of change, maybe the allowing the status quo to ingrain itself in his business, he got in a position where he had to sell it and he wasn't able to reap the value from that business that he always had hoped for. And really it was a sad conversation, but I can guarantee you this. For many years, this business leader, if we're honest, he didn't lead. He drifted. I know he was busy. I know he had amazing relationships up and down the channel. Relationships with his customers, relationships with his supplier. He had them. And I know for a fact, I could see it. I know for a fact that he worked hard for those 30 years. Yet that drift, that deadly drift was there. So let's think about it this way. What's the opposite of drift? If we want to stop the deadly drift that we all might be able to relate to, what's the opposite of drift? Well, I believe the opposite of drift is design. Design. It's being intentional about what the business must become. Yeah, it's ensuring that we have a clear path forward, not of what we have achieved to date, not of what we are today, but it's ensuring that as the leader, we have articulated a clear path forward about what the business is going to become. And I think to secure your life's work in this fourth quarter, we must articulate, you must ensure that you have communicated and designed a clear path forward. And then, once you have designed that clear path forward, we must work hard to align our organization and certainly that next generation of leadership, align that organization and the next generation of leadership around that clear path forward that you've designed. We need to set our sights on a destination that everyone around you is committed to achieving. As I think about this, aligning and communicating and designing, there's a word, designing that clear path forward. I think about a quote that a CEO that I respect often quotes from Proverbs 29:18. And that quote, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. We must ensure as we're looking to secure our life's work, as we look to align our team around this clear path forward, certainly vision is a key part of this. Yeah, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Where there is no vision for the next generation, our long-term sustainability of our life's work, securing our life's work, is in question. You know, vision is a future reality that you really believe is possible with committed effort. Without vision, I perished at my first attempt at college down at Western Illinois University. Without that vision, without that clear path forward, my friend at lunch who told me about, you know, having that business up until 2 months ago, his business, he perished. Now, the challenge when we start talking about a vision, talking about a destination, designing what we want the business to become going forward, the challenge with this, with vision, is that your team is going to want to know how you're going to get there. They're going to demand a coherent alternative to the status quo. They're going to demand that clear path forward. Some call this process painting a picture of the future, painting a picture of the future. Again, aligning a clear path forward for the business and for the next generation. Some individuals I know, in fact, Scott Weaver of APR Supply, on this very podcast, Innovate for the Future, he called this process painting a picture of the future. Painting a picture of the future. It actually sounds fun, doesn't it? And it is. It is fun. You know, as you paint a picture for the future, you know, you're going to ask things like, what do we look like in the future? What is this business going to look like 5 years from now? What's it going to look like on that day that I transition my leadership to that next generation? What should we as a business be doing? What markets will we be in? What technologies are going to be embedded into our business? What should we be doing? How should we be acting as an organization? What will that culture look like? How many associates do we have? How many locations do we have? What is our business model going to consist of? How are we going to break the sameness trap by re-examining and innovating our value proposition? Those are just some of the questions. I know you get the picture, right? Painting a picture of the future. But here's a question for you. Have you painted that picture of your organization? I think your life's work depends upon it. I think securing your life's work depends upon it. And so, yeah, that does bring us to this second step of the My Life's Work success path, and that is incorporating a clear path forward. So as you think about articulating and aligning your team around a clear path forward for your organization's future, here are maybe five milestones that you're going to want to pursue, that you're going to want to check off as done, if you will. Number one, maybe in no particular order, but in this process, you're going to want to define the customer of the future. You're going to want to think about how your customers are changing and how they're how their business is changing, how their demands, who they're going to want to work with, how they're going to buy in the future. But you're going to want to define your customer of the future. From there, you're going to want to define your organization of the future. If your customer of the future is going to be X, what does that mean? What is the requirement of your organization of the future? Three, you're going to want to actually define and write out your future reality vision statement. What is that vision statement of what your organization is going to become in the future? Four, I think this is very, very important, and I think a lot of businesses are missing this, distribution businesses. You're going to want to standardize your strategic planning process. You're going to want to ensure that you have a strategic planning process in place, and quite frankly, you're going to want to ensure that it's being led by that next generation. And then the fifth milestone is, you know, today, in an age where I believe average is over, you're going to want to paint the gap. You're going to want to define and identify the gap between extraordinary and average performance in your organization, because your life's work to secure it, we're going to have to focus on helping our organization focus on the extraordinary and not just that average performance. So, your life's work, everything that you put into it, your life's work absolutely should not be left to chance. It should not be left to drift. It must be designed. Designing the future is a way for you to stand where you aspire to lead that organization and then reverse engineer it into reality so that as you do transition the business to the next generation, they are focused, they are prepared, they know exactly where they're going, and the foundation has in fact been put in place. My life's work in this fourth quarter of your career, we've got to get away from the business, not just work in the business, but work on the business to secure your life's work. Hey, if you want to learn more about my life's work and how we're working with C-suite executives to in fact secure your life's work, I encourage you to go to mylifesworkmastermind.com, mylifesworkmastermind.com. You can find out everything that we're doing there, and I'd love the opportunity to explore it with you. My Life's Work is the world's only program for distribution executives who are ready to secure their life's work, their business for that next generation. And how are we going to do that? We're going to facilitate with 30 individuals, just 30, quarterly coaching retreats where we're going to get away in an intimate setting. We're going to turn off our phones. We're going to turn off all the technologies, and we're going to work together through a system that we're going to be providing to you that's going to set the trajectory of your business for relevance, profitability, and success before that inevitable day that you transition the business over to the next generation. Again, you can find all the details at mylifesworkmastermind.com. So the My Life's Work success path, the first thing is to understand is that in this fourth quarter, this is when our legacy, this is when our life's work is going to be secured. The My Life's Work success path begins with defining your purpose, as we talked about in the last episode. We then have to, as we explored here today, ensure that there is a clear path forward and that it's been articulated. We've aligned our team around it. And when we get together with the next episode of Innovate for the Future, we're going to look at the importance of continuing to develop the capabilities of your organization and your own personal capabilities. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on Innovate for the Future. I hope this conversation of securing your life's work is having a lot of value for you. I think it's something we need to be talking about more and more throughout distribution, and I look forward to doing so with you on the next episode of Innovate for the Future.
Until next time, thanks for listening to Innovate for the Future with Dirk Beveridge, delivering a new voice, a new energy, and a new outlook.